The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, as I was pulling out of the St. Mary driveway, I had a stop, pause for a minute, and say, "Which church am I going to today?" And that happens frequently, and now that I'm up in my 60s, I may go to the refrigerator, open the door, and say, "Now, what did I want to get in here?" But I always figure it out eventually. But, you know, I'm off balance at times, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, because then hopefully we do things to keep our minds and our bodies healthy. That's the same with the Scripture. The Scripture can throw us off balance, and that's one of its powers. It should be throwing us off our balance. I think a couple weeks ago I gave the old adage that says, the gospel comforts the afflicted, and it afflicts the comfortable. If we're comfortable, I don't think we're really hearing the gospel message. But if we're afflicted, if we're churned up, if we're off balance, then something's getting into our minds and into our hearts to say, "Hey, look, you got to look at what you're doing and what you're not doing and make some changes." In other words, undergo a conversion. Today's readings, one from the Book of Kings and from the Gospel, we have heard those stories again and again, but we're not shocked by them, although the original hearers would have been upset by them. They would have been shocked because in both cases, the person who was healed, both in the Book of Kings and in the Gospel of Luke, is a foreigner, a pagan, or worse than a pagan. Samaritans were considered lower than pagans because they had the Jewish beliefs. They were not totally faithful to them, and so they were looked upon as heretics. So the first reading, we have Naaman, the Syrian general. He was a pagan. He didn't believe in the God of Israel. And in the gospel, we have the Samaritan, who was an outcast, doubly so, because not only did he have a disease, a terrible disease, but he was an outcast from the Jewish faith. And yet these are the two people that God heals. How did that come about? And then we can get into some more things that should be shocking to us or should shake us up a little bit. In both cases, the two people were humble. They were humble. They practiced humility. They realized they needed help. They were willing to go and ask for help. Are we humble? Do we practice humility? Is our faith a humble faith in Jesus Christ? Or are we sort of proud? We do all these things. We think, "Well, I did it. It's my achievement," so forth and so on. Or do we constantly think, "No, there but for the grace of God go I." And as the Old Testament says, it is God who accomplishes everything that we have done. But these two men were very humble. And they were willing to go somewhere to find healing. So Naaman, he was willing to go from Syria, a great capital, a great province, empire, to go to this smaller empire, the Jewish empire, and ask for help. He wasn't proud in that sense, and he was willing to travel, and he did. and he had faith. So there was even a kernel of faith there somehow that if he traveled that far, he would be healed. And then, of course, we have the Samaritan leper. He was willing to go find Jesus, seek him out, and ask for help. And then we can also ask the question, how did these two men, to begin with, find out that they could be healed? Well, in that story about Naaman, we read that he had a slave who was captured from Israel, so she was a Jewish woman, and she told him, she told Naaman, she said, in my country where I come from, we have a God who's all-powerful, and if you go there, you might be healed. So she was an evangelist. She was a missionary. Even though she was a slave, she still taught the good news to her master, a pagan. And so he did go to Israel, and he was healed. He had faith. He had humility. And the same with the leper. Again, he no doubt heard from other people that here was this Jesus person going around healing people. And so he too had been proclaimed to him, the good news. Somebody had to proclaim it to him, pass on the good news. And so he said, well, I'm going to check this out too, see if I can be healed. And he was healed. So somebody acted as a missionary and as an evangelist for this leper out of this heretical nation that had split apart from Israel many centuries before that. And then what was the final result of all of these things happening? Well, both men were converted. They both began to worship the one true God. How do we know that? Well, Naaman said to Elisha the prophet, let me take some soil back from your country, so that he could build a mound and an altar. And he said, I will never sacrifice again to any god but the God of Israel. He was a convert. He worshiped the one true Lord. And the same with the leper from Samaria. What did he do? He threw himself at the feet of Jesus. Well, that's a sign of worship. He was worshiping Jesus. He underwent a conversion because of what he saw in the healing that he had. And Jesus said to him, it's your faith that has saved you. So he had this humble faith, just as Naaman did, although Naaman was a little bit proud. He didn't want to go bathing in the Jordan River thinking, oh, what's that all about? Why don't you just touch me and heal me? But eventually he did, and so he was healed. So we have this wonderful story that would have outraged people back then, because the Jewish people would have said, wait a minute, why are you healing this pagan? Not only a pagan, but a general who keeps fighting us and killing our people. But that's the love of God. It goes beyond national boundaries. And in the New Testament story, the people would have been saying, why are you going and healing this Samaritan? He's lower than the low. He's worse than a pagan. Why are you healing him? Again, Jesus' call, and it's our call, is to go out to everyone and gather everyone into the kingdom of God. That's from the very beginning of the Old Testament. Abraham is told, through you, all nations will come to believe. So it was never about just this one group, 12 tribes of Israel, but rather the 12 tribes were set apart in order to go out and get more converts, to get more people. And the same in the New Testament. Jesus says before he ascends to the Father, go out and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Bring people into the body of Christ. Go out. You are missionaries. You are evangelists. It's not about having a comfortable job or a beautiful church or programs. It's about proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we keep reading these stories, and we're so familiar with them that they don't shock us anymore. They don't shock us the way they're supposed to. But hopefully, God is going to make us uncomfortable. The more we listen, the more we ask ourselves questions like, what's my faith like? Do I have really a deep and abiding faith in Jesus Christ? Do I have an intimate relationship with him? Do I always put Jesus before all else? Am I humble? That's a very attractive virtue. People are attracted to humble people. And if we can show our humility in our faith to other people, they may be sparked into asking questions. They may be curious. Why do you think that? Why do you believe that? Because we're not lording it over them, but rather we're gently encouraging them to ask questions, to go into their own hearts and minds and ask important questions about their faith. And of course, the whole purpose of all of these things going on is conversion. Naaman was converted. The nameless Samaritan was converted. We have to keep undergoing conversion, that is turning away from whatever it is that is not of God, and once again recommitting ourselves to worshiping God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we're just like Naaman, we're just like the Samaritan, we're called to humbly grow in our faith, but again, to always keep in mind that we do that not just so that we can be right with God, but so that we are better instruments of God's love in the world, so that we in turn can take the gospel, the good news of God's mercy, hope, healing, so forth and so on, into the world. And we could just step outside the doors of this church, we will run into many, many, many people who are wounded in some way, just as we are, but at least we know where to come to have our wounds healed. But people who don't know where to go to have their wounds healed, to have that understanding that there is a God who loves them, who wants them to come unto him and to be part of the kingdom of God. So as always, we have a lot of work to do. We could easily fill all these pews if we took seriously that commission from God to go out and proclaim the gospel, to go to the Naamans, to go to the Samaritans, to go to the Catholics who are not in this church, and to humbly share our faith with them and encourage them to seek healing in Jesus Christ. That's our call. We have experienced that healing again and again, and so we are obliged to share that experience with other people. So as you go forth this weekend today, think of where you are in your journey, humility, the depth of your faith, whether you're like Elisha or Jesus, a missionary, an evangelist. How do you evangelize? How do you offer questions to people so they can ask themselves, where am I in my life? Think of those questions, those topics, so that we can go deeper into our faith, so that we can be afflicted with the gospel and better proclaim the good news of salvation.